When we talk about affordable housing, we explore whether or not the green movement is a realistic solution. Joining us today is Jakarta Imani, Executive Director of the Ella Baker Center. They're leaders in the green movement in Oakland, California. And Jakarta, you're with us by phone. Welcome.
Thanks for having me.
What is the Green Initiative? You are the Executive Director of the Ella Baker Center, and the green movement in Oakland, California has really taken root. That's where you're joining us from today.
That's correct. Yeah, we have a green collar jobs campaign, which is getting folks with barriers to employment into the new clean green economy, installing solar panels, performing energy audits on homes, green construction. You know, to avert climate change, the United States is going to have to invest billions of dollars in changing the way we build homes and build businesses and heat our homes and businesses, as well as transportation. And that's going to create a wealth of new jobs that folks who most need work should have access to. And so we've created a green collar job initiative to get our folks access to those jobs.
So you were, I hope, able to listen to a little bit of our chat about mixed income housing and how it can and cannot replace public housing. How does that link up to green power and the green movement and trying to perhaps replace some of the utility component of what's expensive in public housing?
Well, for us, you know, one of the ways to make these neighborhoods mixed income is to improve the incomes of the people who live there. Bringing people in, I mean, one of the things that seemed to be left out, I only caught the last several minutes of the discussion, is race. As you take, you know, predominantly African-American and Latino communities and you break them apart by moving in, basically what end up being white newcomers who shift the voting demographic, who shift the whole sort of the stores and what's available around, and it completely changes, excuse the pun, the complexion of the community. And, you know, by lifting up the folks in the community and providing better economic opportunities, we're able to create mixed income communities in a very different way. And so for us, our Green Collar Jobs initiative, our Books Not Bars initiative, which is to transform California's abusive youth prisons, our Silence the Violence campaign, which is doing something about the violence in the inner cities. These are all initiatives that help transform communities from within, that you don't have to bring people from outside, that there are folks there who want to get up and go to work every day. It's just, it turns out that the Ford factory, the window, the siding company, the tool maker, all these companies have moved offshore, or at least moved out of the urban centers. And so that there's an opportunity to revive the urban centers from within, doing what needs done most, which is averting climate change.
I see. Well, that is certainly true in the macro picture. But if we could talk just about the inner cities, mm-hmm. many of which are very desirable now and where you see some of the most sophisticated housing, is there a way to use the green movement in public housing, whether it be providing jobs for those who need them or in making buildings themselves greener?
Yeah. Habitat for Humanity has done an incredible job here in the Bay Area of greening their houses and greening their homes that they're building. Everything from installing solar panels to solar heating to making them much more energy efficient by heating the floors as opposed to heating the air. All these things make, in the long term, make housing much more efficient, energy efficient, which makes them much cheaper. And so these things pay for themselves quite rapidly. But then the other thing is it provides employment opportunities for people in a new industry. One of the things that we watched was the dot-com boom, particularly in Oakland, in San Francisco, and being so close to San Francisco and Silicon Valley. A lot of young people who needed jobs weren't able to get jobs in that industry because there wasn't a pathway onto that sort of information superhighway. In fact, in California, we're importing labor to have these sort of high-end jobs that we're not preparing our students in the inner city who desperately need work to have. And so this Green Collar Jobs initiative for us is preparing our folks to get on that green superhighway that's coming.
Have you been able to visit New Orleans or talk with housing activists and labor activists there about transporting your idea from the Bay Area to the Gulf Coast?
We have. and they're desperately excited about it. In New Orleans right now, they're really, it is a life or death struggle. You know, one of the things that I witnessed, it was called Hope 6 here, the transition out of the big block sort of projects or public housing to this sort of smaller dispersed mixed-use project. And, you know, it was very similar to what happened to the Native Americans. It was a Negro removal project. It was just this project of shuttling black people out of the urban centers, giving them vouchers, and then trying to get people back into this housing when the bar was set ridiculously high. In New Orleans, it's been 10 times worse because folks were pushed out by the flood and the storm and have been fighting to get back ever since. And the only places those folks could land are being torn down. And so our folks in New Orleans are excited to work with us to bring green collar jobs to New Orleans. They're just trying to have some place where you can bring folks back to New Orleans to get those jobs and to do that work and to rebuild their lives.
All right. Thank you very much for being with us today, Jakarta Imani. Thanks very much. Jakarta Imani. He's executive director of the Ella Baker Center. He joined us from Oakland, California.